Look with me in your Bibles in Genesis chapter 4. This is a story that we were raised under the instruction of the Word. We learned at a very early age, that of Cain and Abel. Unfortunately, many can recite the story, but really don't know what the meaning is all about. And my purpose in this message is to talk to you as simply and as plainly as possible about the meaning of this. We've got some children here, some kids that you're sitting here along with the adults, and you may be wondering what it's all about. We don't break up into little groups and put kids off to be entertained, because what we're about here is so vital and important. And it's not something that we have come up with. This is something that God has revealed right from the beginning. And I can't think of any better story or meaning to have communicated to us today than what this is all about, because it has to do with worshiping God. That's what we're here for, to worship God. But there's one way to worship Him. And again, some people think, well, you're just cutting everybody else out. No, this is the way that God has said that we're to worship Him. And there's a little phrase that we're going to see here at the end of this chapter. If you look at it in verse 26, it says, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Do you realize that that whole statement there, "call upon the name of the Lord," has to do with worship? Brother Jim read it in Acts chapter 2, didn't he? Where it said, "In that day, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, you're going to run into people that will say, well, all that means is if you believe you're a sinner and if you really want to be saved from hell, then you just pray this prayer. And if you pray this prayer, you'll be saved. There are a lot of children that are being deceived by that sort of teaching. And yet you can take churches and multiply them across the world right now. They have what's called children's church. And the purpose of it is to see how many children that they can get to say this sinner's prayer and believe that because they prayed it, that they're the Lord's. I'm going to tell you that that is not salvation. That is not salvation. And that's why we don't promote that sort of thing here. How did Cain and Abel learn about the way to approach God? Well, they must have learned it from their parents. How did the parents learn it? Adam and Eve. Well, they learned it from God Himself. This message and this way of worshiping God isn't something that somebody just sat down and thought about and said, well, I think we'll start to worship this way. It's God Himself that said that in order for sin to be put away, there had to be a blood sacrifice, an offering of blood. And all the way through time, from Adam all the way up until the Lord Jesus Christ came, God gave them those animals to sacrifice, to shed their blood. Now, not just any animal. They had to be perfect, because they were a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come and lay down His life. You say, well, when did God actually teach Adam and Eve that? Because Adam was the first to ever be created in this world. Well, I told you to look here in Genesis 4, but if you'll look back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. See, when Adam and Eve disobeyed and they saw their nakedness, they ran and tried to cover it with fig leaves. Tried to go back in the old forest and pull off some fig leaves and make themselves some clothes to cover their nakedness. And from their viewpoint, they said, well, that's good enough, isn't it? God said, no, that fig leaves are not the way that we're going, that God will be worshipped. It's going to be through a blood sacrifice. And that's why we read here in Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin. That's important because they made their own covering and that wouldn't satisfy. Not what these hands have done can satisfy a holy God. They can't bring forgiveness of sin. But it says the Lord God made coats of skins. Now, you young people here know that in order to get a skin off an animal, what do you have to do? You have to kill it. You have to kill it. To kill it means its blood was shed. And you think about that. Here's Adam and Eve. After their fall, they deserve to die, and yet they're observing God killing innocent animals that did not sin and taking those coats and covering them with those coats. In that, we have a beautiful picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ, see, that was a picture, but what he did in reality when he came, God took the sin of his people that he purposed to save, and he killed his son because of their sin. And what did he do? At the same time, he took Christ's righteous obedience, and he covered everyone for whom Christ died. He clothed them. That's why the Bible calls it a robe of righteousness. It's not put in us, it's put on us. And that's how God can look upon us as sinners. You say, well, how important is that? How important is that? I'll tell you, it's very important. Because unless you come to God by Him alone, you are not worshiping God. People can teach you all the best little courses in the world and make you sing them and make you memorize scripture and make you feel better about yourself, make you say a sinner's prayer, but you're still lost apart from knowing Christ and what He accomplished there at the cross of Calvary. And here's how important it is, because we read here in Genesis chapter 4 that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now you say, well, why did she say that? I've gotten a man from the Lord. Well, if you look back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the Lord had told Adam and Eve that he would put enmity between the serpent and the woman. And between the serpent's seed, thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He told them that he was going to raise up a seed of a woman. Now, normally a woman doesn't have seed. It's the man that has the seed. Man provides the seed. But here it says the seed of a woman. You say, well, who's that talking about? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, he was born of a virgin. Mary never knew a man. It was God that put that seed within her, which was his son, and caused him to be born into this world. To me, Eve understood something about that, because when that first child was born, in her thinking, she was probably thinking, ah, here's the seed. We fell, but now here's the first seed, so it must be him. What a disappointment to her, right? When she found out that wasn't to be. But that's why she said that. She may have thought that here was the Christ of whom God had spoken in Genesis 3:15. But it says, again, she bare his brother, Abel. Okay? Abel. You notice the word Cain, the name Cain, means gotten or acquired. That's why they called him that. And Abel just means a feeder. A feeder. He was a feeder of sheep, a keeper of the sheep, you see, was a tiller of the ground. All right, so it says here, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. So they both understood as children growing up that God required an offering. And he does. There has to be satisfaction made for us as sinners. Cain understood that. But what's the problem? He brought of the fruit of the ground. Do turnips bleed? We talk about you can't get blood out of a turnip. That's true. It has to be a living animal, perfect, that lays down its life and dies. But Cain thought he could come in another way. It's just like a lot of people today think, well, I can come any way I want to. God will hear me. No, he won't. He can only receive us based upon the righteous death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice alone. He shed his blood unto death. See, these animals were just a type and picture, but his was the actual putting away of sin. And by that death, the actual establishing of righteousness before God. And Abel understood that. You say, well, how did Abel know that? Well, the Spirit taught him. The Spirit taught him. Here it says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And notice here, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. That's so important. It doesn't just say he had respect unto Abel. He could not have respect unto Abel apart from that offering, just like he cannot look upon any of us and call us accepted other than in the beloved, in Christ, God's Son, the one who laid down his life. See, it's such a simple thing. And that's where we look. If God gives us eyes to see, and I pray he does, that we look to Christ alone. Into his shed blood and that work that he accomplished there at Calvary. But it says here, unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Well, I'll tell you, if you fix something up real pretty like and bring it to somebody and they say, boy, that's ugly, you'd get mad, wouldn't you? You'd think, hey, I spent some time putting this thing together and you don't like it. Well, it's one thing to do that for one another. You know, because we're all human. But when we're talking about God himself, what does he require? Absolute perfection. So that's why he can't receive anything from our hand. That's why it has to be done for us. Someone had to die that we might live. Someone had to work out a righteousness that we might be declared righteous by God. But that's what the Bible tells us is how we stand perfect before God. It's only in his Son. And if we try to come in any other way, we'll not be received. We'll not be received. That's the lesson here. Now, as you can see in verse 5, Cain got upset. It says, and unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth. You ever get really mad? To where your face turns red. That's what this is talking about. And his countenance fell. Doesn't mean his face fell off, but countenance fell means that you just kind of drop, get angry, get pouty. All right. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why would you be upset, Cain? This is all about me. This is all about my glory. I've already given you the way. Through the example of how I clothed your father and mother and how they've taught you. Why would you be wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? And look at here. Here's God's mercy. He says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? When he says, if thou doest well, he's not talking about him going back and getting better fruit or finding some better vegetables. He's saying, go get a sacrifice. You know, that would have taken a lot of humbling on Cain's part, wouldn't it have? Because where would he have had to ask for a lamb from his brother? You know how that is. We don't like to think that someone's better than we are. You see, he wasn't going to do it. You know what? If God leaves us to ourselves, we're all going to have the same sort of reaction. We'd rather die than repent. We'd rather die than bow to the way that God has said. And you know what? A lot of people do, just like Cain. God leaves them to their own reprobate mind. They live in this life thinking themselves to be still good before God, and yet they die to face eternal condemnation. They have no sacrifice. They have no ransom, you see. He says, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. What's he saying? Sin can't be put away apart from a just sacrifice. So it doesn't matter, Cain, if you go on in your life in this way, sin still lies at that door. It's never been put away. Never been put away. But unto thee shall be his desire. In other words, he'll be subject unto thee. He was foreseeing already what Cain would do. He would make Abel subject unto him to such a degree he'd rather kill his brother than follow the way of that God has set forth. And you know, that same anger is in religion today. They'd rather kill you for looking to Christ alone than to accept that maybe your way is right and theirs is wrong. But, you know, it's not whether who's right among us, it's who's right with regard to who God is. That's where we look. That's where we look. And you can read on there that Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. So what did God have to do? Cain thought he would just get rid of this. He thought he could just end this thing once for all just by killing his brother. But as you read on, that's where we come down into verse 25, where it says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. That's what the word Seth means, appointed. And to Seth, to him also, there was a son born, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Another way of reading that is, then began men to call themselves by the name of the Lord. I think that's an important distinction. If you call upon the name of the Lord, in other words, you're calling God to witness. You're identifying with him just as he is in truth. We call ourselves by the name of the Lord. Not by our own name, but by the name of the Lord. Now, let's just fast forward. Come over here to Romans chapter 10. In verse 13, because I want you to see something here in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. If you go back and look in verse 9, again, it's so important for us to read these in the context. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When it talks about being saved here, it's talking about in that final day when we stand before a holy God, by resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be our salvation. It's not our believing that saves us. But we are saved in believing what God has said concerning his testimony. We rest in what God has said concerning his son, how he can be just and justified. You know? And that's what we do when we confess with the mouth now the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. It's not just believing the fact that God raised him from the dead, but why he raised him. Do you know why God raised his son from the dead? He was satisfied. That was the perfect sacrifice to which all those Old Testament sacrifices looked forward to. He was satisfied. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. I like the way that's put. There's no righteousness in here, but it's unto righteousness. What righteousness? That which Christ came and established, and God accepted. God imputed there in the death of his son. He gives faith unto that righteousness. Just like he gave it to Abraham. Abraham believed God, and that faith was accounted to him unto righteousness. So when we believe, it's because God's given us that faith, taught us of Christ to look unto the same righteousness. Abraham, that righteousness he looked unto, we look on outside ourselves. It's in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's talking about. And that's why we worship this way. We pick songs that glorify the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just sang it, didn't we? Draw me near, near, near where? To thy cross. To thy cross. We just sang about the mercy seat. There's no other place for mercy than in the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. See, that's what the Lord has to teach us, young and old. I'm just passing on to you exactly what God taught Adam and Eve way back there in the garden. Same message. Same message. That's where we need to be taught. And it says here, when you believe unto that righteousness, it says, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Not that we've saved ourselves, but unto His salvation. God's salvation. Who's made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You see? And then it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth. Notice how the scriptures put it on him. A lot of people, the scripture says they believed in him because of the miracles he did. But that wasn't faith. This is to believe on him. It's to rest all hope and confidence on him who lived, died, and rose again, ascended on high. He's all our righteousness. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The Jew was what? Somebody that boasted in the law. The Greek was what? Someone who boasted in their wisdom. Got all kinds of people in the world, but there's still only one way. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all, here it is, that call upon him. Now remember how I said that could be translated? That take his name, that identify with his person, identify with how God has revealed him right here in this word, that worship him in that way. That would be the way we could understand it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, identify with him, just as he's revealed right here in the scriptures, shall be saved. You'll not be ashamed. You'll not be disappointed. I've never seen what the day of judgment is going to be like. But I know this, before a holy God, there's only one sacrifice that God has ever accepted for the salvation of sinners, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I trust by God's grace to be right there flat on my face, worshiping him. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That's what it is to call upon the name of the Lord. And I pray that the Lord will teach you his children. This is Father's Day. I can't think of a better thing to pass on to our children than this truth. This truth alone. You could be a street sweeper. Maybe not make much success in life, but if God has taught you this, that's salvation. That's salvation. May the Lord teach us, grant us as parents, continue to point our children, grandchildren to Christ, Christ alone. Our gracious Father, we do thank you for this time in your word. I pray that you would take the simplicity of this message and open the hearts of your sheep here, some that still may be lost. Cause them not to look anywhere else, come any other way, through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And I pray, Lord, for your mercy and grace upon each one here as we meet week in and week out. Honor and glorify your name, I pray, in our midst. We'll be mindful to give you all the praise and glory in his name. Amen.